Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Episode 22 of Concussion Chats. My name is Taya. Concussion Chats is a podcast hosted by the McGill Students for the Concussion Legacy Foundation with the help of Nick from Concussion Talk Podcast. We're dedicated to providing strength and hope to those suffering from concussions through sharing experiences. Today I have a recording of Ashley. 3 years ago, what Ashley thought was going to be a simple recreational game with friends on a Monday night changed her life. Ashley will talk about how her positive mindset has become stronger than ever, how celebrating the little wins daily keeps her sane, and overcoming the dread of asking for help, and about the toughest part being accepting that she couldn't do it all.
Actually, I'm in Picton, Ontario. Before I moved here a year ago, I was in Kitchener-Waterloo, and I've worked in municipal government for the last 15 years straight out of school. And funnily enough, I worked the last 8 years in sport development, where I helped build policy, procedure, and protocol for minor sport boards who then implement it with their volunteers in their youth program so that they can provide an exceptional program for the youth. So I was in the process of actually writing a concussion protocol and procedure, that would be used by the minor sport affiliate groups. So there's 40 groups I worked with, 45, and they were going to use this protocol. And then, so the way it started was in November 2018, I went to dodgeball. And when I say spirituality, I mean that I believe whatever thought or saying you put out there, the universe, your higher power, whatever you want to call it, will reflect it back. And I remember for weeks leading up to dodgeball, I kept saying how I didn't want to leave the house. It was cold. I was tired from work and I dreaded going. Next thing I know, Monday night happened and I got hit in the left temple when I was playing dodgeball. I didn't see the ball coming. The guy was throwing headshots all night and we had told him a few times that it wasn't allowed. And then he threw the ball cross court. I didn't see it coming. It hit me. I saw bells and whistles and I didn't pass out or anything. I was just shook up and I walked off the court, took a few minutes because I thought I would be fine. Being an athlete for years, I'm sure many of you also get that we're used to just shaking it off, but I couldn't shake the spinning and the dizziness and stuff. So I sat out for the rest of the game and it wasn't until I got home. And I managed to drive because I was lucky at a school just around the corner from my house. So I drove home just down the street and it was actually my twin sister, because she's living with me at the time, who said, I think you have a concussion. And that's when it really started to make sense with what I was feeling. So from there on, my life was held up. It was paused. I thought it would be a quick turnaround, that I would just sleep it off for a couple of days and get back to work. But after a week off, it wasn't getting any better. So I found a chiropractor who supposedly specialized in concussion management, and he helped me with the process. And I started doing the return to play protocol. So believe it or not, come December, he cleared me because I was able to walk for the time, for like 15, 20 minutes with no symptoms. So I actually started playing volleyball again. And I'll never forget walking to the gym. The lights themselves caused me to feel dizzy and lightheaded. And then next thing you know, you're trying to bump the ball or see the ball coming at you, and the place would spin and go upside down. So I stopped all sport, and I haven't played a physical sport in 3 years, which has been a big change in my life. And it was also a big adjustment not working. So to speed things up from there, in January, luckily enough, I was diagnosed. I talked to my doctor. She referred me to a sport medicine doctor in Waterloo, and I started seeing him, and that's when I stopped all sport, and he started walking me through the steps to get better. And learning now, I had a really good support team. And if you see me closing my eyes and looking off screen, it's because being on the screen and talking is really hard. And I had a really rough night last night with sleep. So you're seeing me in my concussion version right now. Most days I'm fine, but I'm pretty symptomatic today. So going through with the whole process, I was very upset and angry in the beginning. And I'm sure everyone can relate to that. And I slowly started to change, my personality started to change. And it wasn't until the day I really got mad at my one dog. He was 13 and I saw myself kicking him. I visually saw myself kicking him because I was just so angry. And I knew that was out of context. And the first big hurdle for me was accepting that something wasn't right. My personality was changing. I was angry all the time. I was super stressed out. And I was so snappy. Like, it didn't matter what anyone did, I was mad. So I talked to my doctor and he told me that personality changes is a symptom and it happens. So I got a prescription, and that helped rebalance things for me. And I slowly became myself again. And it was through that piece, that was the first hurdle of recognizing that something wasn't right, accepting that it wasn't my fault that my personality changed, that lashing out wasn't my typical personality and behavior. So I asked for help and he helped me that way. And that allowed me to re-embrace my mindset, because I've worked really hard over the last 8 years to be more positive focused and to find little wins in everything. And I wanted to bring that back to my concussion journey. And I started finding that even though I had a bad day, so I had, my biggest problem is cognitive. So I know what I want to say up here, but sometimes it doesn't come out through my mouth, or I can't comprehend what's coming in, whether I'm reading it, hearing it, whatever. And I remember not being able to follow a recipe, and I was so angry that I couldn't follow a simple recipe. But then one day I could, and I jumped up and down for joy on that, because all of a sudden I didn't have to reread the same line twice or three times and sometimes five times. So I'd read the line, go to do the motion, and then you forget. I don't know if any of you have had that experience, but it's annoying when you have to like constantly grab and try again. So the day I realized that I was able to make a simple recipe, I celebrated that, and I found that it made me happier. It made me smile in those few minutes. And even though it seemed really dumb to be happy about following a recipe, I realized that it was those things, because you're starting back at ground zero again, like a child learning to walk, and you have to forgive yourself. And that was one of the challenges I was trying to overcome too, because I'm an A-type personality. I'm a very strong, independent woman. I've been on my own for years. And to not be able to cook food or order food or drive to the store, it was life shattering. But luckily, I said in the beginning, my twin sister, so I have an identical twin sister, and she has been my rock this whole time. She's lived with me throughout this whole process, and she has a recreation and sport background as well. So she's been able to help encourage me and help me as we go. And she reminds me of things I couldn't do that I can now do. And this would be one of them. The idea of speaking to people and trying to interact is not wasn't possible before. But you're definitely not alone with not being able to read a recipe. And it took me over a year to be able to do that. And that took a lot of work with vision therapy, with my acupuncture and seeing my OT. I actually also had to have a breathing specialist. So I don't know if any of you had this issue, but when I got hit, it changed my nervous system and I wasn't able to breathe. So I was panting all day long, and to say a word and then take 2-3 heavy breaths and then say the next word, it was really difficult. And I didn't clue in that it was a symptom. I thought it was just something weird going on. And so I saw a breathing specialist for 3 months to help me relearn how to use my diaphragm and use my lungs properly. So now I'm able to breathe like a normal person like I did before. And that helped decrease the pressure in my head, the fog and the exhaustion. When I talk about positive mindset, the biggest problem I had was, like I said before, I was very independent, used to do everything on my own. I don't ask for help. So having to reach out to friends, having to reach out to family. And when I got hurt, I was on short-term disability through my workplace provider, but then I had to move to long-term disability, and they were treating me just like any other employee that might have had an injury. So whether they had a broken arm, couldn't lift, couldn't, like a physical ailment, they were treating me the same. So I was getting emails and phone calls with so much detail and so much paperwork, and you can't understand it. And they don't understand on their end cognitively the issue of you trying to retain it. All of a sudden they had to actually accept that my sister needed to look into my bank account to help me establish a budget, to help me review my finances, which nobody wants people, unless you have a husband or a spouse, right? A partner, you don't want family in your business, but that I had to accept because I needed her help to manage all of that. And apply for the EI as a bridge gap between short-term and long-term. And one of my goals would be to help clean up that aspect, because being on the municipal side with the benefit, you can't treat people the same. Like a concussion and a head injury is completely different, and they should have a different protocol with managing it. The paperwork, the process cannot be the same. And the amount of work they put on you to submit your doctor's reports and to find treatment providers, like there's no easy access route. So it'd be nice to help bridge that gap so that people in my position and your positions in the future won't have to have the hardships we did as we navigate it. And I think that's one of the positives that are going to come out of it, because I'm not afraid to voice my thoughts, and I have connections that I think will be able to help better things in the long run. And I know I've always believed in karma and the universe, and when you say things and you put them out there, it comes to fruition. So I did a hypnosis to try to help calm my symptoms, and then every day I would do affirmations of I am healed, I am a survivor, I am this. And it might sound woo-woo and weird, but it definitely helps, because I don't know how many times I thought, I'm not me, I'm injured, I'm always going to live with a concussion, I'm never going to get better. And it's amazing how those negative thoughts can spin out of control so fast, and they come so easily to you. But to say, I'm a survivor, I am getting better every day, I can do X, Y, and Z, it's a lot more challenging. And I don't know why we find positive steps more difficult. So I purposely wrote those down and I had them up on a wall. And then I also did a voice note so that I could play it through my headphones every morning or throughout the day, because you need those reminders, especially when you are struggling, whether it's the recipe or stupid stuff. Like I do half the tasks. So like I thought I put my fishing tackle box away the one day up on the shelf, but it was only halfway on the shelf. So when my sister opened the cabinet for laundry detergent, the freaking thing fell down and almost knocked her in the head. luckily it didn't. And she got so mad at me, but she knew it wasn't my fault. She knows that I thought I fully put it away. Realistically, I didn't. And I got really upset that in the moment, I was really upset that I did that to her and that that happened. But I also laugh about it now, shortly after, because it's just, this is the new normal. This is the new way. And at least I got that far. It's not on the ground, right? Like, you're doing those tasks. And then it's been interesting because the more positive spin I've been putting on things, the more family and friends and colleagues have been supportive, because they're shocked at how when your life changes and things don't go according to plan, it's so much easier to just bury down the hole and complain. And they've been very pleased and impressed to see that I've been working through everything and I'm willing to try anything and everything to improve. And on my bad days, they're there to support me and they lift me up. And I've opened myself to the community by sharing my story, sharing the good and the bad. And I never realized how much support was out there until you, what's the word? You open yourself up, you vulnerable. Thank you. Vulnerable. When you become vulnerable, everyone else is there to help you. So it was amusing because, like I said, I was in Kitchener, Waterloo. We moved a year into my head injury. We moved into a new house thinking it would have more space. It had a bigger yard for my dogs and it would be fabulous. And it turned out to be a royal nightmare. My neighbor on the one side was a horrible neighbor, played loud music. They were drinking all the time. It was terrible to the point where my walls would vibrate and shake because the music was so loud. And we were in detached homes. Like, it was insane. So we survived that year, but that year my symptoms got really bad. But during that time, I was able to try all these treatments. And then we decided, you know what, we're just going to go for it. If we can find a country home, we're going to leave the area. Because my doctor kept encouraging me to move and to get back in with nature and get grounded again and start that whole wellness piece. So we put it out there. We're going to move to a lakeside home in the country and it's going to work out. We didn't know what was going to happen. And then one day Amy was randomly looking on Realtor. And sure enough, we found the house with the layout we drew out that we wanted within the budget we set out. It's on a lake and it's halfway between my old job and my parents and my friends and my family. So that's how we ended up in Picton on West Lake. So now I have, like, I live on the lake. The lake's right is my backyard, and I have the most incredible neighbors and friends. And with that, Sandbanks is just down the street. So I found myself going for hikes, and on the bad days, like today is symptom-wise is going to be a really difficult day. I'm going to bundle up because it's snowing, and I'll end up going for a walk and putting my feet in the sand and going for the walk in silence just to take in the wind and be present. And I always laughed at meditation because meditation has always been the 1 hour with your legs crossed in silence. But I've learned through everything I've done and that meditation can simply be 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And it's just the fact that you put your feet on the ground and you just sit in silence and you feel the wind on your skin and you listen to the sounds coming by. And it's just a moment where you can slow right down. And it's been that too has helped me when I get spiraling out of control with frustration. It helps stop those thoughts so that my brain can recognize what's happening and I can stop the negative thought and then I can spin it around. So if I couldn't follow the recipe, at least I didn't burn the muffins or whatever, you know? So I try to find the silver lining in whatever I do. And when I do have a bad day, I forgive myself for it. I let myself feel the feelings I'm having. I try to figure out where I'm feeling it. Is it in my head? Is it in my chest? Is it like, am I angry? Am I sad? Like, what is it? And I just let myself have that moment because we can't constantly be happy and we can't change our mood. And I found the more I lean into my emotion and lean into what I'm feeling and try to figure out why I'm feeling that way, and that I say to myself, you know what, it's okay to be sad, it's okay to be like this, the next day is better. You wake up feeling refreshed and happy because you work through it instead of trying to hide or push those frustrations down. Yeah, I guess that's about it. I don't know. I'm blanking now on what else is needed. I had a whole plan and then I woke up like this. So
no worries. That was.
Today I have Emily, who is also part of McGill Students for Concussion Legacy Foundation, and Nick from Concussion Talk Podcast, as well as his co-host Aaron, who is also the coordinator for the Newfoundland and Labrador Brain Injury Association, joining me. So I think Ashley's talk was great, and the group seemed to really enjoy it also. We had a good discussion about it afterwards, and yeah.
Do you guys want to go ahead, or? I was just saying to Taya before that I feel like your talk and that she has identical twin sister, I think it would just be an amazing talk to them, so hopefully sometime soon, but I thought mm-hmm. her attitude, her whole, like, the way she was, like, kind of the opposite of the personality was a A-type personality, and she went kind of more, you know, yoga and did stuff. She tended to lean more towards the did stuff like meditation and stuff that I wouldn't necessarily think of for an A type. But then I kind mm-hmm. of went the way I was more of a B type or whatever, but I was like, good, wasn't really A type, and I've gone more that way. Kind of meet in the middle, kind of take both ways, yeah. I guess. But anyway, so I thought it was really
interesting. I think it's so funny and, like, interesting in a way how many type A personalities you guys seem to have as speakers. And I'm like, are only type A getting concussed? Like, what's going on?
Like,
which kind of makes sense, actually, because it would be kind of aggressive ones.
All of the support group, like, anytime we talk about this, like, it'll be, like, someone will bring up being, like, a type A. And, like, someone said one time, like, now they're, like, a type C. And it seems like... Maybe it's like, I feel like it's maybe just more like the people that will come to support groups are type A people, I guess.
I think it's also that people who would say they're type A are type A. Like, if you're not type A, you wouldn't necessarily be like, I'm a type B.
Oh, yeah, for
it's
sure.
Not type
you wouldn't
thing.
Be like,
I'm not type A. That type of thing you're like overt about. But
yeah. But I mean, like, even if someone doesn't say it, you can usually tell what they are or like what they were before their concussion. I feel like maybe it's just like only type A's come to support groups. I don't know, but it's been
maybe like they most experienced the most dramatic shift.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. And so like that's kind of where they're talking about it and getting all these like tips and like pointers and stuff. And because it's like you had to change, like
No, that's true. Yeah, having had like the biggest shift in everything.
Yeah.
Going from always being go, go, go to not being able to be go, 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 you know?
Yeah. I really liked all that she was talking about as far as like the positive mindset, but also feeling your emotions. I think that, one, it was really cool that that's what she talked about because the night before her talk, I'd run an education group about that like exact thing in the psychiatric unit. Like it was the exact thing like we talked about. Yeah, like I printed a worksheet on positivity versus toxic positivity. We talked about that. We talked about how to kind of change our mindset, like what's healthy and what isn't. And I think like what it made me also think about is how scary that is. How scary it is, how empowering yet scary it is that you have that much control over, you know, your outcome. And that was one of the things, we watched this TED talk in the group that I found the other night. And it was this guy from Harvard was doing this research, and he was like, I can predict, like, based on your external circumstances and externally what's happening around you, your conditions, what your life is like from the outside, I can predict 10% of your long-term happiness. And that means 90% of it comes from within, which people, one, like, I feel like for me, for a while, like, the reason I didn't like hearing that wasn't even necessarily that it was toxic positivity. It was that is terrifying. That is a lot of work. You're telling me that if I'm going to be happy, only 10% of it is based on what happens in my life and the rest has to come from within me. No, I'm not accepting that.
Terrifying.
Like, it's also terrifying that someone else can like tell you what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Predict your life. That's like, oh, crap.
Well, he's saying he can only really predict about 10% of it. Still. And the rest of it has to come from within you. But that's also like, so if I want to look at that with a positive mindset, it's like.
Like, oh, I hear that, I'm like, that's power. Exhausting.
Yes! Like, how am I going to do that?
But it's so empowering at the same time. And I do think it's so, because I think I've really gotten to the point to where it's like really secondhand nature for me to think like that. I've been putting years of work into it long before I even like got sober or anything. Like I've been starting to notice the thought process and constantly trying to change it. And it just takes practice. And the piece that I was missing for so long that I'm getting down is the feelings piece. It's like letting the feelings happen.
Yeah, it's absolutely so true. Like the past week, I kind of skipped some of the workouts I was going to do and like was eating kind of crappier and all that. And then last night even, I was just like, you know what? I got to do this workout. Like I've skipped the last three, like I need to do it. And as soon as I did it, I was just like, I feel so much more re-energized. Like just that simple one of like, okay, I need to do this tonight. And I was just like, I feel a lot better now. It's like...
I think another important thing, like, I mean, that goes with like the toxic positivity too at the same time, but just how like in her positive mindset and stuff, like she, like the feeling your feelings was part of that. Like, so she didn't just like push it all down and like try and like run away from it all. Like allowing yourself to feel was part of her positive mindset. And I think that's something that isn't like, I don't know, like it's not encouraged to like, you know, like feel your bad feelings. Like it's just kind of like a make it go away. Like you have to think differently, you have to whatever. But the like acknowledging it and like honoring like how you're feeling, that's what ends up making things more positive in the long run.
Yeah. And it's like, how do you not create more negative feelings than what there already are? You know, because it's okay to like quote unquote negative, you know, really sometimes I feel like feelings just are what they are. But how do you not create more for yourself? And the way I was kind of think about it is like, if I'm playing a video game, right, and I'm like Tetris, like people learn Tetris, right, and their brain structures change. And they just like when they see the Tetris screen, they like are able to figure out where all the blocks go, like just by looking at it. And they've trained, and like they actually see structural changes in their brain, so they've learned how to scan for that. And so if you like transfer that into this quote-unquote positive psychology aspect, is how do I start scanning for the more positive things in life while still, you know, acknowledging these bad things that happen to me and not living in denial? But like you can train your brain to start scanning. And it can be as simple as like the other day, somebody mentioned something about having a lazy day. And I turned around, I was like, well, how about let's rename that? Because what does lazy hold? What kind of connotation does lazy hold?
Negative.
Not any positive one,
yeah,
as
like,
far as I know.
Absolutely not.
So what do you tell yourself when you're having a lazy day? Like there's an immediate... Like, yeah. Subconsciously, our brains, when we hear lazy, are wired for negative connotations. So if I'm having a lazy day, that, because of our brains and how they're already wired by society and the way we use language, that can create some shame and guilt. So how about we consciously rename that to, I'm going to take a mental health day. I'm going to take a day for myself because I love myself.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's... So it's like catching stuff and then you start scanning. Like, it's just so much nicer than saying I'm having a lazy day.
Yeah. One of my like favorite things I ever read was a post that was just like, rest is a productive activity. And yep. I was like,
yeah.
That's yes.
About in the group a lot too is like how when you're resting, like you are being productive and like that's what your body needs.
Yeah.
So it is productive and it's something that you need to do. And yeah, it is productive. Like your body needs it, your brain needs it, and for you to be able to do the other things later, like you need it.
Yeah. Like that's having not... sleep. Go ahead, Nick.
Oh, and that's like the again the type A personality, like they don't people who are think they're just type A don't want to rest and they gotta take a rest and you know, you need after ranging you need to just chill out for a second and sit back and take or not sit back, mm-hmm. but again, I don't know if that's negative or not, but just get a little just you know, chill out because just
it's rest. The wanting to do it all and then rest yeah. is like getting in the way of being able to do it all, but in reality yeah, rest is not, how you're gonna be able to do it all, you exactly. know, like
yeah.
yeah.
No, my parents were always polar opposites growing up, and like my mom is the person to like sleep in, have an afternoon nap, like rest after the day is done, and my dad's like, let's get up at 5, like we're gonna do this and then maybe I'll sit down after dinner.
It's like, maybe, but who knows? Yeah,
but like they have eventually found this balance for both of them, and I think it's like through them actively like 50 years later into their lives of finally striking this chord of like, oh okay, like we can like sit and rest in the afternoon for my dad, or my mom can be like, yeah, getting up at 8 a.m. is fine.
Or she can get up at like 6 or 5 and then take your nap though in the afternoon. And so you know, naps are great.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. I think, and something else that like we were talking about was just like when she brought up like the being able to follow a recipe thing, everyone in the group started like nodding their heads. Like, I wish you guys could see it. Like, I think every single person was like, reading a recipe is like hard. And like being able to, you know, do it. And then one of our members in the support group, she started talking about like, she was working with a student and they like went through all the steps of understanding a recipe and just like how many steps are involved and how there is so much like switching and so much going on. And like, I wonder why like your brain has a hard time doing it. But I think, yeah, everyone just like was in complete agreement when she was talking about recipes, and I don't know, it was
yeah this is like a weird tangent, but it reminded me when you were talking about that of this video that recently came out, but this has always been a task that teachers usually do with younger kids when they're first learning descriptive writing, and it'll be like, okay, you need to write to me how to pour like a bowl of cereal, and so people will be like, pour like cereal into the bowl or whatever. And it'll be really basic and it'll obviously like be missing a lot of steps, so they'll just mess it up. But it's like you have to detailed go by it. And it just kind of shows how much you really actually have to think about when you're like either reading the recipe or doing the recipe. Uh-huh.
there's a cat.
My cat just flipped across my keyboard, sorry. But yeah, like to that point though, the video really highlights just like how much extra effort there is in like a very simple looking task.
That's a good.
I got one more thing.
I was gonna
say, alright, go.
Sounds like you're on the
phone. I'm itching. Yeah, I really, I love that this was her talk because it's stuff that I've been thinking about for the past week and trying to figure it out. Is the word why? She talked about not asking why, and it's so funny because when my mom had done her talk, she gave us this like naughty word list, and why was on there. And I was so confused. And just this past like few weeks, I've been talking to people in the psych unit and I was like, man, I really hate the word why. And I got it. You know, like somebody's in full, and I've noticed I do it with myself, I'm being like full blown crisis. And I want to ask myself why, like why, or like I'm having a crashed out day. Why can't I read? Why can't I do this? why can't I, like, you know? Yep. And I feel like all that that's doing in that moment is making it worse, is asking why. Because it's also, I feel like when I, for myself, when I do that, it also invites this sort of like shame and guilt, is like, why can't I read? Why can't I do this? Then I'm like, oh, it's because I didn't decide to take a break then, or it's because I hit my head, you know, versus being like, what can I do in this moment of crisis? How can I make that happen? When can I do this? You know, and then maybe once everything has settled, we can look at why, and or what was the trigger, better yet, not why. What was the trigger down the road? But I feel like sometimes in crisis, we tend to spin because we want to understand why it's happening. And that's just like not productive in that moment. It's like more productive to handle the situation that you're in. And I really like that she just briefly was like, I stopped asking why, or something like that. And I was like, yes, that's been my thing this past week.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's my two cents.
Sorry, the image of you just wrapped up in a tortilla blanket is killing me.
Oh, that's what it is. I thought it was
all wrapped up in like a fuzzy blanket right now.
I thought it was like a tortilla. That was like butt scenes.
It's a tortilla blanket.
That's good.
But like, it feels like this talk just came at like the perfect time for you in so many ways.
Yeah, I'm pumped about it.
Yeah.
I was cleaning my bathroom this morning, listening to it. I had my gloves, my mask on, like got the pine saw and this, you know, the paper towels, and I was like, hell yeah. Awesome.
I also Where's my blanket? Like her thing about like the like affirmations to herself like every morning and stuff, and even like throughout the day, and then also when she said that like she also has it as like a voice memo to play through her headphones like every morning throughout the day, like I thought that was also cool. Like I don't have like affirmations that like I've written myself, but like I have like a couple years ago Emily was like watching my cat when I went away, and like so she left like a bunch of like sticky notes all over my old apartment and like brought them with me to my two other apartments I've moved to, and like they're just like stuck up on my wall. But I think the like the listening to it thing is interesting to me, because I just like I hate my own voice, like I like when it's recorded, like I could never find this podcast.
You don't listen to these at all?
No. I can't do it.
The first
episode, I wanted to see how I sounded, and I was like, oh my god, like this is disgusting, like what the hell. And then anytime there's been like a share that like I've like wanted to go back and listen to, like I'll skip through all of my stuff, and then I have to stop it before I do my like. Now I have no. Yeah, no, I cannot do it. I can't do it. I don't want anyone to talk to me about it. Yeah, just it's terrible. I can't. So yeah,
I'm the same way.
Me, but. Yeah, like, I remember, like, last year when, like, you had the episode of Concussion Talk, Emily, you were like, I don't want to hear it, like, I don't want, like, nothing.
It was great, Emily, don't listen to her, it was great.
I know, and I told her, I was like, it was great, and I mean, now here we are, 22 episodes of a podcast, we've
never listened to a single one back.
Don't know what I'm saying.
Hey, I totally forgot that she had said all that stuff. I don't think I could listen to myself. But that's also one of those things that builds your brain.
Yeah.
The structure is doing it every day. Just like Tetris.
You're reinforcing it.
Reinforcement. Drop those neuro terms, Taya.
Yes. I know. Even when she was talking, like, I was just thinking about, like, the class that we're taking about, like, psychotherapy and stuff. And And all the things that like it relates to. And man, a lot of these talks lately have been great to incorporate into what I'm learning in school. It's been awesome. Way to reinforce what I'm learning, to like make connections. Awesome. But yeah, no, I think I don't know if like it was as perfect for me as it was for Emily, but I definitely think that like her talk, like I feel like it kind of comes at a good time for anyone. Like this is something that like everyone should be kind of, you know, but I also, pardon Nick?
I said aware of.
Oh,
the lady
yeah, we're aware of. Okay. But I don't know, because like I'm also like the positive mindset, the like affirmations, like trying to do all those things. And then when she said the thing about like when you become vulnerable, like people are there to like help you and stuff, and like just like the thought of like people helping, I still can't handle. But it's true, like when you do become more vulnerable, like people are there to help. And like I think that's something that I've kind of started to realize as like I have become more like vulnerable and more like open about things, and like it's pretty cool, but also it's so weird. And
it's
just crazy.
I think part of that was that, like, and she talked about it, was learning how to like express the way she was feeling, and part of that comes with like learning how to ask. It's just learning how to figure out what I am feeling or what the thoughts are that they're making me feel, and then learning how to ask for help.
Yeah, like,
the whole word thing is the whole aspect of concussion. Yeah.
Being able to name your feeling is so important. Yeah. Something so many people miss. Like,
you
see, like the feeling wheel, like is reposted a lot, and it's just like how to actually name what you're feeling. And it's like angry, but are you actually angry? Like, which word for angry are you? Like,
It's definitely, I've been working on this stuff for like a few years, and like, it's hard to be like emotional and like be like aware of your emotion and like label them and stuff. I mean, but like it gets easier, but it's also weird. Like when like you can do that. And I mean, with my psychologist, like we always talked about how like anger is a secondary emotion. And so like, if I said like I was angry or feeling or like I just felt like anger, she'd be like, okay, but like what did you actually feel though? Because like that's the second thing. And like recognizing like what those things are and like being able to label it and name it are hard. But then like adding in the asking for help, that's like the extra step that's super hard. But when just like you can do it, it makes a huge difference. And it's good, but it's hard as hell. Yeah. But it's worth the work that you have to put into it, for sure.
And sometimes you just straight up don't want to do it, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll get back to it. Like, me for the past week, not wanting to work out.
Like, exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, like tomorrow is a new day. You can try again. I don't know. But, any last things before we wrap up? Alrighty.
Great share.
Yeah, it was great. It was awesome. Alright, so thanks to Emily and Aaron for joining, and thanks Nick for helping us do the podcast. And again, thank you so much to our speaker, Ashley. We'll have a new podcast posted Monday morning. Our upcoming podcasts can be found on concussiontalk.com, Spotify, YouTube, and Apple Podcasts. You can find more information about our group on concussionmtl.com. Our peer-to-peer support group is free and open to everyone. We hold 4 weekly meetings on Zoom. And if you're ever interested in being a speaker, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Thanks for listening. HeadCheck Health bridges gaps in concussion care through simple, powerful technology. Join organizations like the Canadian Football League, Trek Factory Racing, the Canadian Junior Hockey League, Eastern Washington University, and Volleyball Canada, who rely on HeadCheck to improve communication and optimize care. Visit headcheckhealth.com for more. The music at the beginning of this podcast is by Ben Sound. www.bensound.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.